next one is the first song on our new album.
Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast, episode number 13, lucky number 13. Unofficially sponsored by Pearson Salted Nut Roll, made right here in St. Paul, Minnesota, of course. Don't be a butthole, eat a Pearson Salted Nut Roll. Check out past episodes of this show at thankyourob.com, where you can also check out my graphic design work, otherwise known as I Define Design, and my other podcast, which is called Some People's Kids Podcast. And while you're at it, you can check out this show on fuzztalkradio.com, which is a Mankato, Minnesota-based online radio station run by my good friend Justin Fuzzy Nuts Fuzz Nuts, which is not his legal name. I've seen his birth certificate. It's not correct. And that's just for anonymity. Anonymity. Say that five times fast, huh? It took me some practice. Now, last episode, I had Fatsy on the show, and we discussed Hunter S. Thompson. Yeah. And today, I have Joe Wobbs. Joe Wobbs. Is that cool if I say your name like that?
Yeah, it's totally cool.
All right. Is it Wobbs, right?
That's right.
All right.
Wobbs.
Joe Wobbs. Well, hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
Yeah. Joe was late, but that's all right. Today was the Twins' home opener, season opener.
It's actually Wednesday, though.
That's right. This is true.
You look at you, man. Every episode I've been listening.
Right. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't know if we fell into that mistake on purpose or...
Right. Well, okay. So when you're listening, they're on their second game because I think their Twins are off tomorrow.
Yeah,
so.
We lost.
Yeah. So if you're listening Wednesday night, we probably lost again. So last week we talked about Hunter S. Thompson. Are you a fan?
Oh, yeah, big time.
You are? Okay. Books? Do you ever read his books?
Yeah, I have read his books.
Okay.
Yep.
If you've listened to the show, I claim to be an expert because I've seen Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas a lot. And I did see the new one. What's it?
The Rum Diaries.
The Rum Diaries, yeah. Which was all right.
Yeah, I've seen them both, obviously. I like the first better, too.
Yeah. Have you seen Where the Buffalo Roam?
Yeah, I have. I think I've seen it on Netflix or Hulu or something like that. Same thing. But I had seen it like early on when I was a kid, but I didn't comprehend it.
Right.
Kind of same kind of thing, you know, like I do.
You're like, why is that guy from Caddyshack acting like that? Why is he shooting his typewriter?
Well, I love it. I'm a big Bill Murray fan.
Oh, yeah, Bill Murray's awesome. Yeah,
can't go wrong.
I think I should do a podcast dedicated to Bill Murray because I love him. I love him. Not in a homosexual way, but, you know. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but
Saints sponsorship,
right? Yeah, Saints. Yeah, I should work that angle. Yeah. Maybe I'd get him on the show. Yeah,
it's worth a try.
Yeah, I'd have to maybe get him on the golf course. He's a golfer. He's a big golfer, right? Him and his brothers, they had their own show on Comedy Central.
Oh, I don't know.
It was like him and his brothers, and it was about golf.
I didn't follow it.
Yeah, well, that's real. That happened. But today, we're going to talk about the Beastie Boys album, Check Your Head.
Yeah.
This album came out April 21st, 1992, almost. What was that? 21 years ago? It would be 21 years ago on the 21st.
Yeah,
this
that's
month.
Crazy.
Yeah. Now, this album here, we have it in front of us here. I had to pick up... These out, they re-released their. Did they re-release the Def Jam albums too, digitally remastered, a few years ago?
Yeah, I think this is. Yeah, you probably have the best, a better sounding quality.
Yeah, I know, because I wanted to get the remastered ones, and I wanted to get them when they came out because they had like some pretty crazy deals. They had like Ill Communication, Check Your Head, Hello Nasty,
Well, and they had a lot of extras, like I think Boom and Granny and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like
the
some of that stuff that wasn't on the record, right. The commercial record.
If you went to BeastieBoys.com, and I think they still have Hello Nasty, the last I checked, on vinyl, and they usually come with the MP3 version, which has those bonus tracks. The vinyl's just the album remastered.
Okay.
Or the CD, you can get the CD that comes with everything too. And this one, I got the digital download too. It has like 16 bonus tracks, remixes, whatnot. And one of my favorite tracks, so what you want. But there's a Soul Assassins remix with Be Real from Cypress Hill on it. And that was like almost kind of a rarity to find back in the day, before the internet really. But that's one of the bonus tracks on there too.
Well, yeah. I mean, so this stuff was before the internet.
Yeah. Right. You know what? Before I really get into the album, the Beastie Boys really didn't pioneer the internet, but they were a pioneering, as far as a band goes. They were like ahead of everything. They had a website.
Yeah, definitely.
And it wasn't actually ran by them. I read a magazine called Wired. Are you familiar with Wired?
Yep, I am.
There was an article about a guy from California who was like a big Beastie Boys fan, and he came to them. He's like, look, there's this thing called the internet. I'm going to make this webpage. You know, are you guys cool with that? And they were like, oh, man, we love that. Yeah, let's do it. You know, they were like completely, and they became friends because of this. And he ended up touring with them just to like update their website and just give it that personal feel, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so they were one of like the first really big bands to embrace the internet, you know? Not the first, but one of the first, you know.
Right.
As far as like an independent, not that they're independent, but they have that feel, you know. They were on a label.
Yeah, they always were like cutting edge, like changing like all the time.
Right. Their sound, their image.
Because I mean, obviously, you could talk about the Beastie Boys for a lot of records, you know, in their whole career, and we're concentrating on one album, but
right,
it's like, you know, the first. I mean, from one to the next is amazing.
Agreed. Well, now this album came out after Paul's Boutique.
Yep.
When did Paul's Boutique came out? This came out in 92, so it was probably like 80s.
That was like all Jungle Brothers.
Production?
Yeah, and they barely, you know, they
Dust
played,
Brothers.
Yeah, the Dust Brothers.
Right.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
And they didn't play very many instruments on it.
Right, yeah. And it, so I don't, that was like 88, I want to say, 89. I don't know how old you are, but I was pretty young. I was probably listening to like Bon Jovi or something.
Right.
You know, I wasn't into the Beastie Boys until this album, actually. I mean, going back now and listening to like License to Ill to Paul's Boutique to Check Your Head, it's like, it's
See, I was a crazy fan from the start. I'm older than you, so like I remember, like my stepbrother brought me the tape, you know, and it's like, you gotta check these guys out on cassette, and it's just like. And then I kind of like always grew up with those guys. That's like every record was different, you know?
Okay.
I loved it.
Yeah. Did your brother say, these guys are on tour with Madonna. I went to the show and these guys were like booed off stage.
I don't know. I don't remember that part.
Okay. Yeah. I always thought that was weird.
Turned me on to Guns N' Roses too. Like same kind of deal.
Yeah. That's cool. I always thought that was weird that because obviously I wasn't like into them at that time.
Did you, like, when this record came out, I went and saw them at First Avenue.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Sweet. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, it was a cool time.
So going back to, you know, I'm just kind of reading about Beastie Boys, their history, and that they opened for Madonna. It was, like, such a weird, who the hell put that together, you know? Right. That just didn't make sense.
Some guy that was just looking at numbers and that's it. Like, it didn't really care about the music.
Right, yeah.
It was like, oh, here, these guys are both doing good numbers, throw them together, and it's a perfect formula.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. So after Def Jam, I don't know what really happened between Def Jam, if their contract was just up, but they went on to form their own label, Grand Royal Records, which, as you know, if you own any of the CDs, actually, it's pretty much Check Your Head and Hill Communication, and I think the CD, the artwork is the same. It's just a different color,
right.
You know, the Grand Royal logo and stuff, which is actually, they're a subsidiary of Capitol Records, so, but it was their own deal. So in this, between Paul's Boutique to Shake Your Head. They really, like you said, Paul's Boutique was mainly produced by Dust Brothers with a few tracks that were actually had instrumentation by the Beastie Boys.
But their producer was the engineer on that record.
Right. And Mario
then,
C.
Yeah, Mario C, and then he became the producer. That's when they brought Money Mark on.
Right.
And they started playing instruments again.
Right. So yeah, they did their own instruments on this. MCA played bass. People say that a lot. Yeah. Bass, do you say it like
bass
that?
Bass guitar.
Yep. Ad Rock on guitar. Mike D on the drums. And as you said, yeah, this one's fully co-produced by Mario C. And the keyboards by Money Mark, which I'm actually a big fan of Money Mark.
Right. Well, that brought it all, like, because the organs and all the keys made it so
You know what?
Smooth,
I'm a sucker for that, though. I really am.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
the Doors.
It's soulful, you know what I mean? Well, the Doors are kind of keyboardy.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, though, but yeah, I do love the Doors.
Yeah.
But I know, like, where some people are like that. But yeah, it just adds a lot of soul to the music.
Yeah,
I do. But I love the presentation, like the photography. And
they always had photography, the videos, and this album, my favorite song, my favorite Beastie Boys song of all time. I mean, they have so many good ones, but my favorite one, Pass the Mic, it's just the beat, the lyrics. They always use, not always, but they use that effect on their voices, that kind of...
Oh, right. Kind of the echo.
Right, yeah.
That was one of the only ones they had to chart, too. Like, it wasn't their biggest one, but...
Pass the Mic?
Yeah. My favorite one is Mark on the Bus.
Mark on the Bus?
Ride on the bus into the city every day.
Yeah, like you said, before we started recording here, we were talking about the album itself really represents so many different sounds. And
right. Because it is, you know, it's punk rock and it's hip-hop
right.
and it's poetry and it's jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mike D, like, I love his drumming, like, the kind of loose, swingy kind of thing. Like, I just love that kind of style.
Yeah.
And the tones, you know. Really, like, I don't know, for, like, generations or whatever it is. You know, like, a lot of people, like, Ozzy Osbourne will say he wants to make his Sgt. Pepper's. For me, like, I want to make my Check Your Head, you know?
Right.
It's like, that's what I'm chasing and it'll never attain kind of thing.
Right.
The ring, you know?
Yeah. Hey, set that bar, though.
Yeah.
You gotta set that
absolutely.
Bar. So what you want? You know? So what you want? That was, like, the video where it was, like, I mean, of course, this was the album that really got me into Beastie Boys. But, I mean, of course, there's no way you couldn't know who they were before this, you know. Obviously, Fight for Your Right, you know.
Right.
I mean, if you didn't know that song, you're a fucking idiot. What, do you live in a third world country? You know?
No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
No Sleep Till Brooklyn, right, yeah.
Girls.
Girls, yeah,
all
of course.
All I really
yeah.
want is girls.
But So What You Want, like, when I saw that video, you're just like, it was just so different, you know?
Oh, right. And the whole feel of that beat and stuff, it's just like that feel. I was thinking about that, like some of the things sound like chickens and stuff to me on there.
Right.
You know, and it's like, is that keys or what is that? You know, like,
mm-hmm.
or is it DJ? You know,
right.
I love the.
So who did the cuts on this album? You know, I don't think it was DJ Hurricane. I think Hurricane was their touring DJ.
He came on later for like a Root Down,
yeah.
whatever that record was. Ill
Communication.
I'm trying to think of, because they had tons of skits in this one too, which was another thing that made
yeah.
it great.
Yeah.
Because that was an era, you know, of hip hop, like that's kind of old school stuff, the skits, and it got corny, you know, you can only do it so much and get away with it.
Right. Our evening began.
Peter Sichels, yeah. Well, even the way, like, I mean, they're kind of the only guys that, in a way, you know, you like someone, if they can get away with robbing off, like the first. It's Cheap Trick, obviously, you know, in the opener. I mean, all the stuff they sample is so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Dylan, all those things. And sometimes you get mad about those obvious samples. But with the Beastie Boys, it's just fun because they're just having a good time.
Right.
It's all cool. You know?
Right. They make it all good.
Right.
It's all good. So when this album came out in 92, to support it, they toured, obviously. I didn't know they toured with Rollins Band.
Yep.
And they toured with Cypress Hill. So that explains that Soul Assassins, Cypress Hill connection. So they toured with Cypress Hill, so it's kind of funny how things kind of come together like that, you know what I mean?
Well, and it's kind of, you know, like talking about the Madonna tour, the early records, like,
mm-hmm.
and they're just like throwing beer cans at teenagers and
right.
stuff like that.
Right.
And then it's like when they're, you know, it's like they change so drastically from a record to record,
right.
you know?
You can really see them mature, I guess, in a way.
And it's kind of like, too, what I like about any kind of artist, like as far as lyrics and is like being different, you know, like to you can't categorize them, you know, like, yeah, they can get away with this, they can get away with that, you know, because it can be this. And I think they can do that. And I loved how they trade lines, too, a lot.
Right, yeah. And for those that are listening and don't know, if you don't know this, that I used to rap and be, I was big. No, but I always tried to.
Bigger than the Beatles?
Yes. I was in a group called Ruthless, and it was almost like a, it was me and basically two other solo MCs that had their own solo careers, you know what I mean? And so they kind of worked that way. Like, I always wanted to write like the Beastie Boys did, like trading off lines, you know what I mean? And
right.
We did it a couple times, and when we did it, was fucking awesome. It was fun.
Right. It's pretty selfless, too, you know what I mean? To like, it's hard, like any art you do or a good idea, to be like, hey, man, that's my idea, you know?
Right.
That's your ego. So to let that go is like a pure thing. So that's why it's good art, because they're just like, okay, I don't care if you say my clever line or this or that. I got that feeling that they didn't always write each line that they said, you know?
Okay. Right.
Maybe I'm presumptuous in that, but.
Right. White Castle fries only come in one size. Okay, yeah. 2009 was when they digitally remastered the albums. And I do want to get Ill Communication and.
What was the first song that just. This is totally off the record, but made you want to be a rapper? Like, do you remember that moment where the song was? Not to turn around.
No, that's.
I'm not to interview you, Rob.
Interview you. That's a good question. You know what? This is going to sound so stupid, but it was probably Vanilla Ice. Something from Vanilla Ice.
That's cool, man.
Because I was really into him, like, in the 90s, and probably too much.
Not right.
Too much.
Well, we played that show with you, man, when he brought Vanilla Ice.
Oh, that's right. Project 13. That's right. Yeah. You know, it's like, when you're a kid, and you hear stuff like that, now that I'm an adult, and I, like, listen to Vanilla Ice.
You don't have to explain to me. I'm like as guilty as anyone. Okay, I can recite Ice Baby from word for word right now.
So in researching this album, Check Your Head, I found out that there's a book called Check the Technique.
Yeah, I heard. I just read that too.
You just read that?
I haven't read the book.
Okay. But I came across that book and I had no idea that this book existed.
I didn't either until I did my research, to be honest.
So this is what the book is. The book is, it breaks down certain albums track by track by the artists. You know, so Mike D, MC, Ad Rock, and then Mario C and Money Mark, all five of them, which, you know, basically made this album here, break down the whole album in a chapter of this book, Check the Technique. I ordered it today. Because there's KRS-One breaks down an album. I forget which one. Wu-Tang's in there. They break down 36 Chambers.
That's crazy, dude.
So
that's worth. That's like college education, right?
Yeah. It's like, you want to listen to fucking Lil Wayne? Read this book. Right? Another Cypress Hill Beastie Boys connection. Eric Bobo. You know who Eric Bobo is?
No, I don't.
He played the percussion. I actually thought it started with this album, but it's actually Ill Communication. And then I don't know if Beastie Boys just didn't make albums fast enough, but Cypress Hill did. So he became the.
Well, for your percussionist, you know, you can do all kinds of.
Yeah.
Be in multiple bands. And.
So he went on to Cypress Hill. And then he was on Hello Nasty and a few albums, but he mainly tours with Cypress Hill and does studio work with Cypress Hill too.
Nice. I love Cypress Hill.
Yeah. Cypress Hill really started off as like a weed rap group, you know? But they really grew into more than that. I mean, their live shows are fucking crazy.
But they have a style, too, that's pioneering.
Oh, yeah, unique. Absolutely. But let's get back on fucking track here.
Sorry.
Back on track. Beastie
Boys.
Not your fault. Not your fault. So, yeah. What's your favorite track, you say, would be...
Mark on the Bus?
Mark on the Bus.
Is that what it is?
Mark on the Bus.
Doesn't even have bass in it. There's so many great songs on this record, though.
Yeah,
I mean, it is a like flow, like how the styles change and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's Funky Boss. Everybody's fault like that.
Yeah. Funky Boss, get off
my back.
And this, I don't know if this was the first album where Biz Markie just shows up out of fucking nowhere. But he did. He popped up on Ill Communication too, if I'm not mistaken. I got to find out. That's why I can't wait to read this book about this album.
Right. I love hearing those backstories.
Yeah, like how it happened.
It seems like happenstance, kind of like, I probably mispronounced that word. A lot of times, though, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I know this guy, who knows this guy, right, or whatever, you know, and yeah, it falls into place.
Yeah.
Like, he was renting a room down the hall.
Mm-hmm. So, here's kind of an interesting thing. So, Beastie Boys are from New York, and then they kind of based out of L.A. for Grand Royal, was their home office, was in L.A., Capitol right. Records in L.A., L.A. being Los Angeles.
And I think those vibes change records and personalities and yeah, people, you know, like right, they're different polars of the world, you know?
Yeah. So Grand Royal Records, they basically had free run to sign people. And one of the signings was Sean Lennon, the son of Yoko Ono and John Lennon.
Yep.
So that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. I've never heard the album, but it's just like, man, that's...
Was he the beautiful, 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 beautiful boy?
I don't know. I haven't heard any of the Sean Lennon albums. I think there's only maybe one or two because Grand Royal didn't last all that long.
Yeah, I think I bought them, and honestly, I probably didn't think I'd dug them at the time, you know.
But just for the association of, you know.
Yeah.
Like having that link to the Beatles. You're wearing a Beatles hoodie right now.
I am.
I mean, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I had a Beatles phase. That's basically how I learned how
everyone to play has guitar. A Beatles yeah, phase.
Yeah. Yeah, I can play like every chord because of the Beatles.
So Grand Royal Records, they also had a magazine. I think it was called Grand Royal Magazine, if I'm not mistaken. Came out like every other month or something. It was just kind of like the first record label that I knew of that did something like that. And of course, it wasn't all about Beastie Boys. It was about the artists that
right,
you know, they're part of.
Because otherwise it gets boring, you know.
Right.
No matter how great you are, you can yeah, be an amazing artist.
Right.
And it's, it doesn't, you know what I mean, it gets boring.
All right, we're going to take a quick Pearson Salted Nut Roll break, just to plug them one last time. And while we eat that and make a lot of noise with our chewing and my slobbering and spitting, you don't want to hear that shit, trust me. We'll be right back after this commercial that I made for myself.
The Some People's Kids Podcast. It's like the Thank You Rob Podcast because Rob is on it.
Rod Small.
But it also has another guy.
Who is it?
His name is Chuck Chase.
Chuck Chase.
And there aren't any guests.
No guests.
So it's not really like the Thank You Rob Podcast at all.
I'm confused.
So if you thrive for useless knowledge.
Useless.
And really funny shit.
Yes.
Check out peopleskids.com. Fuck yeah.
We're back from a technical difficulty here. We're not going to explain to you what exactly happened, but...
I got some crazy peanut stuff in my teeth. And
yeah, salted nut roll, Pearson salted nut rolls were eaten. Now we're back from that. So, now I'm going to ask you this question again. Asking this question of people on the show, you know, if you were stranded on death row with these death row inmates, who would you be stranded with? Who would you want to be with? Cellmates, but... now I want to flip that a little bit, twist it. You're a Wu-Tang fan.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's say you're a single guy and you have a condo, as you would say, a two-room condo, right? Is that what you said?
I can envision it. Yeah, I can envision it.
Envision it. And you're looking for a roommate, so you're taking applications, and all 9 members of the Wu-Tang Clan apply. For this, you got RZA, GZA, Old Dirty Bastard, Inspecta Deck, U God, Raekwon the Chef, Ghostface Killa, Method Man, and Master Killa. So you got to factor in each of these guys, their personalities. Who is your roommate? Who's your new roommate? Are they going to be late with rent? You know? Are they going to be loud? Are they going to be disrespectful? Are they going to be friendly?
Are they going to even be there ever?
Right. Yeah. There you go. Even better.
Right. Like, who's out on the streets all night long?
Right.
Like,
or who's on tour? This right, is the fucking Wu-Tang, Wu-Tang Clan. But it is true that Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with.
That's true. Yeah. I think that it's tough between Method Man, but for sure ODB. Just because it'd be a short thing. Ah, yeah. It'd be tough. Still, it's a hard choice to make that.
Method Man, you know what? I think Method Man would be kind of a... He's got a sense of humor, you know what I mean? He had his own fucking sitcom. A movie, even. How high? You know, he's got a sense of humor.
Right, so he's capable of showing up to a job or something, you know, like getting up in the morning.
He smokes a lot of weed, so ODB, if you smoke weed...
You ain't going to make it to a job if you're rooming with ODB, though.
Right, no, no.
You got to just accept that. You got to probably quit your job.
Right. Hopefully he'll be like, no, don't worry about it, man. I got this.
You'll never forget it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that'll be... You'll be telling stories for a while.
With Method Man, you probably forget most of it.
Right. I would pick RZA, I think, because he's kind of intellectual. He would teach you things. Teach you things, you know.
Tell you what books to read.
Yeah, right.
What kung fu movies to watch.
Right, exactly. That might be the you know, because no one's perfect, man. You've had roommates before, I'd assume.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I've had
like
the spectrum.
You know, like Rob's cool, but he watches fucking kung fu movies all day long.
He's got
all
them on
day
like
long.
12.
It's the same, the same ones over and over again. So, you know, I mean, everyone's got their little quirks,
right?
Yeah. So no one's perfect.
Yeah, shouts to
old roommates. Dirty bastard is drunk all day long.
Right, and like he has no concept of a timetable. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it could be like, he's up for 3 days. You're not going to be able to sleep in your room.
Right. It's like 4 a.m. He's like, let's go see a movie. Let's go see a movie.
But God, it'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. Yeah. I would say ODB was my favorite Wu-Tang guy. He was. He was just so obscure and just different, you know?
Right.
I think actually this coming weekend I'm doing 3 podcasts in one day. Going down to Mankato.
A marathon.
Yeah. I got to think of a clever name for it, but I haven't done it yet. I'm interviewing Professor Fresh.
Nice.
Ilpo. And Fuzz from Fuzz Talk Radio. Nuts, we're actually talking about Wu-Tang Enter the 36 Chambers, so that'll be interesting.
Great record.
Right, and I'll have to propose this question to them. So you're going ODB?
Yeah.
Just for the party factor?
Yeah.
Right.
It's a fantasy. I'm going to take full advantage of it.
Did you know that Party Rock is in the house tonight?
No idea.
Everyone's going to have a good time. So, let's get on to this interview.
All right.
Joe Wobbs in the house. Joe Wobbs, where did you grow up? Where are you from?
I'm from Monticello, Minnesota.
Straight out of Monticello.
That's right.
Crazy motherfucking name, Joe Wobbs.
Ain't nothing to fuck with.
Where did you start with music? What was your first inspiration of making, like, what made you want to start making music?
I guess I don't remember. Like, it was always important to me ever since I was a kid, you know? And I love watching bands ever since I can remember, basically. But kind of, my mom was a musician. She was a singer. And then she would play bass when it would be, like, the male vocal leads, you know, kind of thing.
Okay.
And so that's how I ended up playing bass, because it was around, basically, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's ultimately what it is.
Does she make music still, or does she still play?
No, she hasn't for a long time. I mean, she could, like, she'll sing at, like, weddings and stuff like that, and, you know.
Tell your mother I said hello.
Absolutely. Now I'll make it my mission to get her to sing.
There you go.
But no, she's awesome, like, but it's my mom, you know. So
right.
It's like, my mom, your mom's voice, no matter what, I don't know, but, like, I think it's pretty good, so.
That's interesting. That doesn't seem very common to be like, my mom's a musician.
Right.
You know?
But I think a lot of musicians have family members that were, you know, it's like around or important in their lives. Just like listening to old records.
Mm-hmm.
Like my grandparents always owned bars when I was a kid. So like I'd grow up, you know, I'd live above them. I'd hear the bass through the floor. You know, just stuff like that. And I think that influenced me, you know, for sure.
That's interesting.
And then, like, old jukeboxes, you know, like, because of that, like, they would have so many 45s.
Yeah.
And I'd just sit and listen to them. And, like, I used to like truck driver music a lot.
Truck driver music.
Yeah, I think it's, like, hip-hop a lot, too, because of the storytelling factor, you know.
Convoy. Convoy.
You know Convoy, don't you?
I don't. What,
we got a mighty convoy trucking through the night. Oh God, am I gonna sing it on here, man?
this is the part where you gotta insert the song.
Okay.
No, but there's all kinds. I think it's like Red Grange, or I'm just butchering people's names. But there's like, you know, trucker songs where they just tell stories, which is like storytelling hip hop, you know?
Okay.
Or just, you know, folk music.
I was delivering a bunch of TVs to Circuit City.
Right,
then
man.
They
closed. You got 6 hours to get the load in. That kind of thing.
And then one of my 16 wheels or 18?
18.
One of my 18 wheels popped.
Says, look at this motherfucker on the road. Yeah. Man, you can do a whole splice of trucker music now.
Yeah.
But that's funny. I guess it's not funny that you didn't know that, because it's such an offbeat weird kind of music.
Okay.
Yeah, were you ever into like CBs as a kid or anything?
You know what? I had some friends that kind of, because I'm from like a rural area.
Right.
So I had friends that were kind of into that. But, I mean, we would just fuck with people, really.
Right, that's the same thing for me. Like, okay. It was that same kind of fascination with it, or, like, trying to get truckers on the CB and fuck with them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I can say the word.
Did you piss them off?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, yeah. Stirred a few bees' nests when I was a kid with some trucker, poor trucker trying to get, you know, this hasn't slept for 16 hours.
Right, yeah. So, your mom being involved in the music, too, inspired you, and then... What was your first venture into music then?
I guess like in high school I had bands and stuff like that for talent shows, or you know what I mean. We'd want to do something where we'd play in like, what songs do you know? You get together with whatever. Your only choice was like two guitar players in the whole school,
right,
or something, you know.
How big was this school? How many people?
I graduated with like 219 people.
Okay. So it's not tiny.
Yeah, no.
Not huge, but not tiny.
No, but those were great experiences because you'd play in this huge theater with lights and a sound system and, you know, the local cable access show videotaped it. Right. So, I mean, that feels pretty awesome when you're like 17 or whatever. Yeah. You know?
Do you still have copies of that?
Some stuff, but like the VHS tapes, you know how they get pretty cruddy. So, like, I have bits and pieces of disintegrated tapes kind of thing, you know. That got transferred to DVD way too late.
Right, right.
But, I mean, they might be out there, because like I said, it was on a public access show type of thing, so. Yeah.
They might have the archive.
And it's got all the fade in, the old fades and stuff that.
The Ken Burns effect?
Yep.
So, at what point did you start the 420 All-Stars? Or who started 420 All-Stars?
That was, I guess, me and Sean Hagen, my longtime friend. You know, we're friends since we were young kids.
Mm-hmm.
We were pretty fresh out of high school, basically, and I was in a rock band called Caffeine, and when that band disbanded and then just whatever, I don't know exactly how it all happened, but we wanted to start up a band together. Like, we were always friends, like, he was always straight hip-hop, and when we were in high school, we even played hip-hop songs with him.
Okay.
Like, we'd do a song that we made up, a freestyle or whatever, about graduating or the school sucked or whatever the thing was, you know? I can't remember it now, but, Well, we do that kind of stuff, you know, and like even then, like I go over to he was in a rap group with this guy, Q-Ball, who was in a band. I can't think, it was horrible. I can't think of their name at all. They're from St. Cloud. They're like
Hydrophonics.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was all that kind of stuff came from like kind of the Wookiee Foot days too. Like they played shows with those guys and got popular.
Okay. Yeah, they were pretty big, Hydrophonics.
Yeah.
And
that's that record, that CD that I gave you was recorded at the Wookiee Foot House, or they call it the Playhouse, or different things like that.
Okay.
Mark Murphy plays on it, and he produced it, you know, co-produced it with us, that sort of thing.
Is Wookiee Foot still around?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they do. I think they do a lot of the festival stuff kind of thing.
Right. The festival circuit.
Yes.
As I would call it. Now, yeah, Capacity came by. He gave me a copy of that album. And as I said before, and no offense by saying this, it's from 2000. It sounds like 2000. And you kind of determined that that's obviously a snapshot in time of what you were doing. And
yeah. Well, that's 13 years ago, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, how do you feel about that?
Old. But I'm proud of it at the same time, because I just do what I love. You know, I love making music, and I don't care what people think about it.
Right.
And
I'm not saying it's bad by any means.
But, you know, I'm just saying in general, you know, like, so in some ways I'm proud that I've just, like, kept at it. Some I enjoy, you know, like, any, like, a lot of people do art, like they do painting or whatever it is, and then usually it seems like as you get older, you let those things go that you enjoy.
Right.
And it's like, I still get a kick out of it, man, so.
Yeah, that's good.
But it gets harder, that's obviously, important. You know, having a family and kids and stuff like that, you have less and less time because it's a selfish thing. It's a hobby and endeavor, you know?
Right. Yeah, much like a podcast.
Yeah.
You know? I'm the same way, though. I can't, you know, I had the Lunatics era, and I always have to be doing something. You know what I mean? I have to do something with my time, something I enjoy. This is easy.
Right. And just being creative and it's fun.
Right, exactly. So what happened with 420 All-Stars then? Are they still around then?
Yeah, they are actually. I'm going to be playing a show with those guys, not like a whole set or anything, but they really technically never disbanded.
Okay.
Although there's a whole, I mean, probably should just watch the movie or read the book someday type thing.
Okay.
But they're playing a show coming up too, and Project 13 is going to play with them, and I'm going to sit in with them and play some songs and stuff like that. But it'll probably be their last show, to be honest with you. Okay. And they all kind of do music, but they're into different things.
Okay.
Sean's doing more straight hip hop stuff now.
Okay.
And he'll.
So that must maybe show. That's how. So he was involved with the Modern Condition thing.
He might have. Yeah. Well, no, he's not on those records, I don't think.
Okay.
But. They're friends, you know, they've been friends since they're young kids. They kind of came up together.
Okay. Because that must be why I know the name, something about with that correlation. Because we always, maybe we did play with them at some point, or?
Yeah, you guys might have, and then maybe you would have met them. Right. That would have totally made sense, too. Yeah. I mean, the crowds would have been perfect fit, I think.
Right.
But, they never played that. I mean, they've played so many weird different places that it's hard to say.
Yeah. So what, I was going to say Hydrophonics. I didn't.
I was never in that band, but I know who they are.
Right. After 420 All-Stars, where'd you go from there?
I moved out to Colorado, and I joined, then I went like in a rock band for a while. It was My Evil Twin, and played around like original rock music. And I did some like cover bands that were lame, you know, but it was cool, you know, like as far as making a living standpoint.
Right.
Like you make more money and you get fed and things like that. It seemed like people treated you better in general as a musician in Colorado than they do in Minnesota.
Really?
You know, well, it's such a, you know, there's a lot of fish in the sea kind of here.
Right.
Type
right.
thing.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just general appreciation. I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting.
But, you know, that gig kind of sucked because, I mean, it'd be cool because you get free lift passes and stuff like that or whatnot or make good living. But, it'd just be like, oh, is the Red Hot Chili Peppers song coming up? Because I don't know how many more times I can play an Alanis Morissette right. song.
As a cover band, you're saying?
Yeah, that was very short-lived for me. Like, I could only do that a little bit. And then I was just like, it's sucking. Mm-hmm. It's taking the enjoyment of music out of my life. But I always wanted to do, like, when I started doing music, I was just like, I always wanted to do my own music. Even though it sucked, I'd rather just play one G chord over and over and be like, yeah, I wrote this. You know, I don't know what that is. Probably arrogance, I guess. But.
So you came back home from Colorado and...
And then I had a car accident and I shattered this wrist, right wrist I'm pointing at.
Okay.
And I couldn't play music for like 3 years because I like had nerve problems, yada yada, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And then I just kind of was like at the point like, oh, I'm not playing music. But of course, I still always love music, went to shows all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was at the Annex basically when I met Capacity. And I was there with like Carnage and Idea and Cheap Cologne. We were just watching a show. And I think we went down to see Capacity because Cheap Cologne had just done a song for him.
Okay.
It was like a Kill That Noise remix or something like that.
Okay.
So I kind of remember him. Like, that's how I discovered who he was because he's like, oh, check out this guy. He's so awesome. And I was just like, he's kind of nasally. But then I went to the show and then I obviously fell in love with his music. A good bulk of my career in music has been playing music with Capacity, you know, whether recording on his albums or in live bands and that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, he's a good guy too.
Yeah, absolutely. I love him. He's one of my best friends. So basically since that point, then it's like I was out of music and then pretty much I was in Project 13 from that point on.
Okay.
And I don't know if, because I kind of forget some of our earlier conversation, I don't know if it's recorded when we talk about how it... We started playing with other artists outside of Capacity and stuff like that.
Okay, right. Within the Hecatomb.
Yeah, originally it started with Blake Dotson was the drummer who Capacity had found.
Okay.
And then Jay Love the Sound Smith was the DJ. And that's all we did was that, like a really raw thing, and then me playing bass. And then it was when we started getting other Hecatomb people that we were playing with that we had to get guitar because, you know, you couldn't play with Desdemona without a guitar or certain Carnage songs, you know, that kind of thing. So then this just kind of expanded into that, and we'd play with different artists on Hecatomb. And Master Eye, we did some shows with, different stuff like that.
Okay.
So.
Y'all got around.
Yes, sir.
I get around. That's another cover.
Yeah, we played shows together, too.
Yeah.
That Ari the Rugged Man, I know Professor Fresh played that, right?
Yeah, that was actually, that was Serial MCs. That was everyone on
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good show.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite shows. That was pretty cool. Yeah. Did you talk to Ari at all when you were there?
I did not.
Yeah, he was pretty intimidating.
Was he?
I thought so.
He's from Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, but I just love him, man. He's like, I'm just kind of the idol thing, like where you don't want to ruin it or like say be stupid. I just feel like, oh, I'll say something so stupid.
Right? Or, yeah, that's not always easy.
I don't want to have that image in my mind that like someone I idolize thinks I'm super whack.
Right.
And I'll be able to see it in his eyes. But I think he's one of the sickest ever.
Yeah.
Big Ari fan. So that was like a.
And there is like a Wu-Tang affiliation there somehow,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he played on some Wu-Tang stuff. God, I'm just...
Poontang?
Poontang. Pootie-Tang.
Poontang. Yeah, Pootie-Tang, nice.
No, he
yeah.
played on some of the Wu-Tang records for sure. Yeah. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, I don't know. It was somewhere.
He does have that affiliation. Of course, a Biggie affiliation, too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. All right, Die, Rugged Man, Die. If you do not know, listener, that's you. If you've never heard Ari the Rugged Man, Die, Rugged Man, Die, it's an epic hip hop.
Just go get it.
Shit. Yeah.
We get 3 cents for everyone that we sell tonight.
It's really like, not to get too much off track, but he looks like a, I don't know, like a middle aged white man that you wouldn't think would be a dope rapper, you know?
Yeah.
But he is. You know?
What's that one video I'm trying to think of where he talks about when he was signed to Jive and stuff like that early on in his career?
Okay.
Where he kind of just got fucked up right away, you know, like signed a bad record deal out of the gate. And
yeah. Is that on that album?
It's on the internet for sure. You can YouTube it.
Everything's on the internet.
Yeah, of course.
Joe Wobbs is on the internet.
That's the only way you can find me. I only exist in the internet.
Yeah. I believe that... Have you ever heard of the hip-hop group Jedi Mind Tricks?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever heard that song? I believe it's Jedi Mind Tricks that he's featured on the song with them. And it's a song about, like, Vietnam, I want to say.
Oh, yeah. That's actually about his dad.
Yeah. And it's, like, he just goes on and on. It's like, one of the best. It's just so vivid.
Right.
It's fucking awesome.
See, I love that. That's what I love. And that's one of my favorite things about Capacity is like it painting a picture like is an art, you know?
Right.
Like with your words, like when you can tell a story where like almost you don't want to see the photograph of it or the movie of it because it's in your mind so clear. You don't want that image broken.
Right. Yep.
That's what I love. You know, obviously Slick Rick's the king of storytelling. I would love to go see that show recently.
Yeah.
But I guess I've heard some people said it wasn't that great, but. But I mean, I love that style of hip hop.
Storyteller. The art storyteller. Of storytelling.
Yeah. But I love it in all styles. That's where I like the old country stuff and then, you know, folk music or things, you know.
Yeah.
Where lyrics matter.
Yeah,
know,
right.
Versus
right.
other styles of music.
It's not all about party rocking. Right?
That's right.
So now, Project 13, you guys are playing another show here coming up, right?
Yep.
April 17th.
April 17th.
And that's...
It's at Honey, Minneapolis.
Autism Awareness.
Correct.
Yes.
And all the money raised is going to go to benefit the school.
What day of the week is that?
It's a Wednesday. Yeah, it's a rough one.
Wednesday.
And it's super long, too. Like, it's like 7 o'clock to whatever closed, like nonstop good music.
Okay.
So even if you can pop in for a minute or whatever, it's going to be cool.
Who else is on that show?
Big Jess, No Name, J Love the Soundsmith is going to be Turntables, A Scratch.
Kid and Play.
Yeah, Kid and Play is going to be there for
Reunion.
Sure.
Reunion.
MC Hammer.
Nice.
He's going to freestyle a little bit.
Two Live Crew. Right.
Just come down, you'll find out.
Yeah, yeah. You never know who'll show up.
That's right. Yeah, but there's going to be drawings and giveaways. There's live painters. There's like 6 live painters. Last Triumph is giving away, I believe, like crew CDs or different things like that. And okay. I think there's a lot of giveaways that they're going to be having. So,
do you know if these live paint, like the painters that are doing these paintings, are they like auctioning them off or something, drawing at the end of the night? Or?
Yeah, that's part of the drawing.
Okay.
So basically, and the school donated a bunch of stuff too. Okay. I don't know if I should say what some of them are, but they're pretty cool, you know.
Don't say it.
Don't say.
But must I be present to win?
Yes.
Really? Yes. That's weak shit.
Well, I don't know. Oh, man, I better not. I can't speak for it.
Okay.
Let's call Dave or find out. But,
yeah.
But it's right after we play, coincidentally, so you can come see us win something.
Was there ever a Project 13 album?
Yeah, there is. I should have brought it for you.
You should have.
Oh, you can download it. Actually, go on Capacity's Bandcamp page, and you can download it for free.
Free.
Yep. It's a really good record. Carnage is on it. Capacity's on it.
Okay.
And then there's like a freestyle at the end where there's some other people from Hecatomb on it. But
do you rap on it?
No. I was holding back.
So what you said earlier was true. You did not rap yet.
No, I've never rapped on
your
the track before.
Your rap to be is yet to be.
Not to say that I've never fantasy rapped
right
in my bedroom, but I've never made it official. Yeah, not even stuff. On tape. Like, I don't even want to hear how whack I am back.
Right.
So, yeah, I got myself in check pretty much as far as trying to be a rapper.
Do that stuff in the bedroom. You know, keep it private.
Right.
And then your wife's like, what are you doing in there? Like, nothing. Nothing. Like, go in the bathroom.
You have to have things that are just yours.
Yeah. Well, any last words there? Not like your last words, like you're about to die.
Come out to the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. We haven't played a show in a long time, and we're going to do some new stuff. We got a keyboard player, percussionist, that sort of thing. And it's for a good cause. There's going to be, like I said, awesome music. So if you can come early, you can come late, whatever. You know, just come support the cause.
Right. Good cause. There's no
There's
no reason why you shouldn't be there, listener. Well, Joe, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
So, Joe, if people are interested in getting you on an album to play some bass, Joe Wobbs is on Facebook, although you're
joewobbs@gmail.com. You can email me.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
There you go.
I'm connected, I guess.
Yeah. Or Google Joe Wobbs and just see what happens. Let's just see what happens.
None of those are my sites.
Yeah. I was young. I needed the money. Well, check out thankyourob.com. You can listen to past episodes. I had Capacity on once, and then we even name-dropped you at one point.
So it's my second appearance, technically.
Right, technically. Really? Technically. I Define Design, you can check out my graphic design work there. You can also listen to the Some People's Kids podcast, which is another comedy podcast I do with my friend Chuck Chizace. Fuck your fizzace, Chuck Chizace. That's not his
word.
And that's more entertainment based. We talk about movies, music, TV stuff, whatever the hell we feel like talking about.
I do what I want.
Yeah. I do what I want. But thanks for listening, and remember this. Don't forget.